Shri Sai Ram. Every woman who awakens courage within is Durga. Every woman who awakens transformation within herself is Kali. Every woman who awakens devotion within herself is Parvati. Every woman who awakens nurturing is Annapurna. Every woman is Shakti. Let us celebrate the goddess within every woman in our life through our respect and consideration. Offering myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet, this is Karuna signing in live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. And on behalf of the entire team at Radio Sai, I wish you, dear sisters and brothers, Bhagwan's choicest Navratri blessings in profusion via these airwaves. Welcome to Morning Glory on Asia Stream. Today is a very significant day for so very, very many reasons. It's a Thursday, the day of the Sadguru. It is the 18th of October, and with 18 being a divine number, multiple of 9, today also happens to be the sacred Navami, or the 9th day of Navratri. Personally for me, I'm delighted to be back on Thursday Live after a prolonged absence, my very first such long leave from Radio Sai in the past 10 years. Due to personal reasons, I had to be away, and I'm very grateful to my helpful little brother, Raghuram Bhatt, who filled in for me so readily. He's such a support, pillar of support for me in my absence, and I thank him profusely. My gratitude also goes to Bhagwan for allowing me to be back on his radio show and on this 9th day of the Navratri, which holds some very poignant memories for me, because it was on this Navami 8 years ago that my biological mother merged in my cosmic mother, and that has been a huge life transition for me. I just hope that both my mothers are one now, and I seek their blessings to celebrate their combined glory on this show today and through the life that I live. Tomorrow, that is on the 19th of October 2018, is Vijayadashmi or Dasera. We are looking forward to our tradition of Vedic chanting, Purna Ahuti, sprinkling of the holy water, delicious prasadam, conclusion to this week-long yajna, which is the rich cultural program in the mandir in the evening. You see, life in Prashanti is sacred, it's energizing, it's enriching, exciting, yet it's disciplined, and it works with the same clockwise precision that Bhagwan personally set it to. That reminds me, dear sisters and brothers, of an interesting conversation I had with an eminent judge who was here for the legal conference in the month of August, just before I went away on time off. Over dinner, he and his wife were both first-timers to this Divine Valley, and they were sharing their first impressions of Prashanti Nilayam with the gathering there, and I was a witness to it. His wife was in awe of the energy and the power she felt as she approached the Mahasamadhi. And the famous judge, on the other hand, kept on insisting that the Guru has not gone anywhere. He kept saying, the Guru is here. His reasons for saying so was, how else can you explain the 10,000 strong congregation of devotees present in the hall, that is the Kulwant Hall, in such a disciplined and orderly manner? And he was so impressed by the way in which prasadam was distributed so systematically, and darshan Alliance were conducted in a very professional and calm and peaceful manner. He pointed out that there was no stampede, no chaos, no confusion, and only discipline and order was there, and it was discipline coming from within the people who were here. Excuse me. According to him, this means that the Guru is very much here. That is why everything is so well organized, even years after his departure from the form. Now, sisters and brothers, this judge and his wife were visiting us for the very first time. And these were their observations, and I found them so interesting. And incidentally, we have recorded quite a few short interviews with some of the visiting judges. I hope you will take the time to enjoy them. Today I will play for you one of those interviews. This is the one with Sri Dalveer Bhandari, the esteemed judge of the International Court of Justice at The Hague in the Netherlands. An ardent and humble devotee of Bhagwan Baba, Justice Dalveer Bhandari took the time to speak with me, and it was such an honor for me to listen to him. And although the interview is very brief, I'm very glad we were able to record it on the sidelines of the legal conference, and it will be coming up shortly on the show. By the way, you are so blessed because right now you are tuned to the land that celebrates the resplendent goddess throughout the Veda Purusha Sapta Jnana Yagna as per the strict grammar of the Vedas. Goddess Durga, Goddess Lakshmi and Goddess Saraswati are celebrated and venerated during this festival. And tomorrow, dear sisters and brothers, you can witness the culmination of the Vedic extravaganza in the form of the Purna Ahuti, or the conclusion of the Veda Purusha Sapta Jnana Yagna. To witness the final offerings into the sacred fire is a truly spiritually energizing experience, to say the least. And I urge you, dear sisters and brothers, to watch it on radiosai.org. You can also catch it live on Facebook Live. The Radio Sai team is going all out to cover the program in all its glory. For this, we are using some of the state-of-the-art equipment so that you feel a deep connect with the epicenter of Vedic heritage and culture, the abode of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. Our technology upgrades include a gimbal-mounted camera and much more. Bhagwan has ensured that his ashram is well-equipped and fully sensitized to his responsibilities to the rest of the world that draws its spiritual plasma from Prashanti Nilayam. It really is a very charged day here at Prashanti, and you can well imagine right now every grain of sand in Prashanti Nilayam, every wisp of air, every leaf on the tree is pulsating with divine energy, because the past 8, or including today 9 days, have been simply extraordinary in the ashram. This is a tradition that Bhagwan personally started way back in 1957 as part of his mission to revive Sanatan Dharma, which is basically a harmonious and peaceful way of life as prescribed in the Vedas. My favorite part during the yagna is when the Vedic pandits begin to recite mantras while making offerings into the sacred fire. Now, as we all know, Swami's students right from grade 1 and up are proficient in Veda chanting. So when thousands of voices from the students join the chanting, you can feel that energy surging. I keep thinking of all the angels, the devas, the devis that must be drawn to this yagna with such charged and powerful chanting, especially the ones in the voices, the tender voices of the little children. What is really astonishing is the way the ashram is keeping up all the grand traditions that Bhagwan started. And in fact, everything is being done with greater attention to detail on a grander scale. Even today, Bhagwan remains at the center stage of all our prayers. And all these prayers are directed for the well-being of the universe. Dasera and Parthi is also extraordinarily special and sacred and phenomenal to watch, because so many diverse cultures and races and religions participate wholeheartedly in this week-long yagna. This is the only place on the face of the planet where all cultures, different faiths, colors, races join hands to pray for harmony and peace, not only on our planet, but in the entire universe. And that truly makes Prashanti Nilayam the spiritual capital of the universe. One such regular visitor to Prashanti Nilayam's Navratri celebration is an unusual character who comes each year all the way from New York in the United States. Back home, he's a detective in the NYPD, that is the New York Police Department. And here in Prashantinalayam, he's but a seeker. My studio guest this morning is a detective from the New York Police Department, and we'll chat with him shortly. After the studio conversation with the detective, I will bring you the interview with Judge Sri Dalveer Bhandari of the International Court of Justice at The Hague in the Netherlands. And on the other side of the show, we will continue the interview with Sri Suresh Govind. I believe you heard part one here on Morning Glory last week. Today you can enjoy part two, and next week right here I will play for you part three. And might I remind you, dear listeners, with great deal of satisfaction and pride that on October 20th, the day after Dasera, is the most historic and momentous Avatar Declaration Day. And that is the day when Bhagwan's grateful daughters, that is his alumni students from his school in Puttaparthi and his college at Anandpur, will be celebrating in unison in the Mandir. This is a wonderful initiative that has been led by Mrs. Pushpa Ramana, the former warden and librarian of the Anandpur campus of the Satya Sai University. And this event will witness hundreds of women alumni coming from places as far as USA and Australia and all over India to join in the celebrations of joy and gratitude to our beloved Bhagwan, who happens to be the divine founding chancellor of our alma mater. On that happy note, I'm very pleased to welcome to the studio my special guest, whose name is Sai Krishna Bharadwaj. He's a detective in the New York Police Department. Sai Ram, Sai Krishna, and welcome to Morning Glory.
Sai Ram, Karuna, thank you very much for having me today.
It's a pleasure always to have a detective. Just so you know, I didn't do anything. Very innocent and not guilty of anything.
Okay.
Thank you. This reassuring to know the detective is pleased. Now, Detective Sai Krishna Bharadwaj, you live in the hustle and bustle of New York City with all sorts of stuff happening, financial capital of the USA. Why do you feel the need to be in a hamlet in rural India from all that every year for Dasera Navratri? What brings you here?
This is my way to detach from all that hustle and bustle. You know, every day we focus on the job that has to be done. This has to be in New York. Everything is continuously moving, never stops for even half a second. So to come to Prashantinalayam, the tiny hamlet in southern India, as you mentioned, is more of a treat to be like, I can focus more on the spiritual element in a grander scale as opposed to the hustle and bustle on a daily life in New York City.
And this has been going on for a while. You've been coming annually.
Yes.
When did this tradition begin?
This tradition began in 2007. This has been an annual trip with my family, with my mother in particular. It was supposed to be a full family with my father, mother, and myself. My father unfortunately had passed away in August of 2007. However, prior to his passing, a father and son bonding, the deal was that, Dad, we've gone for Guru Purnima, we've gone all the time during the traditional American summertime of June, July, August. You know, now I've graduated college, I'm a rookie police officer now in the New York City Police Department. Why don't we go for Dasara? At that time, Swami was giving the discourses every day, and on the Vijayadashmi, he would sprinkle the water.
That's right.
And that was what I had saw. I believe it was 2005, 2006 was the last time, and I always had that desire to come during the Navaratri festival. So my father had said, okay, I'm going for Guru Purnima. I could not take the leave at that time. My mother and him went for Guru Purnima. They came back, and the bargaining chips were going back and forth between my father and I, and we said, okay, we'll go. Unfortunately, my father was diagnosed with cancer. So shortly after he had Darshan of Swami on Guru Purnima, about within 2 or 3 weeks' time, he had passed away. So in continuing that bond that my father and I had, I implored to my mother, you know, Dad said we were all going to go for Dasera. Why don't we go and continue that tradition? And she says, yeah, let's go. So first time we came, was October, I believe, Dasra in that time in 2007 was, yes, it was October at that time. And we came, we had my father's, ashes. We had placed them in the bay behind Chitravati River. And we came, enjoyed, and Swami, out of his infinite glory, welcomed my mother and I in ways beyond imagining, that we knew that the Divine Mother, having lost my physical father, was there to care and console for not only me, but also my mother as well. Mm. So that was something that I'm ever grateful to Swami in keeping such a tradition alive.
That's right. I understand your mom is American, and she's also into, she's a proficient Veda chanter.
Yes, she is. My mother is born and raised in the island of Puerto Rico. It is in the Caribbean. It is a United States territory. She migrated to the United States in 1954. And during the time, I don't remember the year, it was in the early 2000s that Swami had instituted the Veda chanting, that Swami would come out and sit next to the two or three of the students and chant. And my mother, being a devout Roman Catholic, fluent Spanish speaker, raised in New York and then moved to New Jersey, is fully proficient in Rudram, Chamakam, and certain other various Vedic prayers that I'm sure even myself I don't even know.
That's quite astonishing, I must say. Sai Krishna, how do you manage this spiritual break each year since 2007 with such a busy career? I mean, I'm speaking in terms of the logistics of professional scheduling and working details out in your department and your precinct.
So, generally, as a police officer, and when I received promotion to the rank of detective, we are allotted 5 weeks of vacation annually.
Pretty generous.
Yes, yes, I cannot complain about that. And generally, during the September, late September, and majority of October annually, is not a heavily selected slot of vacation. So therefore, all the senior detectives and senior police officers and senior supervisors who will have taken their vacation generally in the American summer, June, July, August, leading up until the first week of September. So because it's not such a very common vacation selection, because of that, I'm able to reap its benefits, and by also Swami's grace, I'm able to come since 2007 for the Navaratri festival.
Hmm. And is the precinct anything like what we see on Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
I think in certain aspects, for those of you who are familiar with the show Brooklyn Nine-Nine, being a detective in the Special Victims Unit, it is partially something similar, and other it's completely Hollywood.
Okay. Now, what do you tell I'm trying to think of people in your precinct, and I'm thinking of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. What do you tell your co-workers and your supervisor every year when you have this tradition of applying for leave? Don't they wonder, why do you go all the way to India, same vacation spot every year, never a change, not looking for anything exotic, new parts of the world, and you repeatedly go, why do you go, who do you go to see, what do you do there?
So it's funny that you mentioned this. Just this trip before I came, one of the rookie detectives whom I was helping in their investigative assignment, they specifically asked me. They said, "Hey, Sai, why are you going to India? You know, what for?" So, the simplest way I have ever explained Navaratri is, it is for the prayer of welfare of everybody when good triumphs over evil, and I like to go there and be a part of it. A simple New York answer, keeping it moving.
And that works well.
And they appreciate it because, you know, as police officers in the United States, people don't call the police when they're having a get-together. They call the police when there's a problem. So for me to go somewhere else, be a part of such a grand celebration that essentially prays for everybody else's welfare,
What more can I ask for? What more can I share with my police officers? Essentially, doing the duty there in USA in helping those who are in need, as well as helping those who are in need here in Prashanthi Nilayam on the spiritual angle as opposed to the law enforcement angle.
That is a nice way of putting it. Okay. Now, my final question to you is, who is Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba for you, Detective Sai Krishna?
My best friend. Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba, yes, he is my God, he is my guru, he is my everything. But above all of that, he is my best friend. The chair that we have to your right and to my left is not all the way up above, it's not down below, but it is just eye length at the two of us. As if one friend or another can converse very freely and everything like that. In any way, shape or form, I have talked to Bhagwan only as my best friend. Only as anything a friend would do. I have argued with Bhagwan, I have screamed at Bhagwan, I have cried to Bhagwan, I have laughed with Bhagwan. Bhagwan has laughed at me on many a times. And that's what a best friend is for. A best friend will always lend you their ear whenever you are in need of it. Will always give you that shoulder to cry on whenever you are in need of it. And will always give you the wisdom whenever you are in need of it. Swami, as my best friend, has done verily that, given me the wisdom, given me his wisdom, given me his guidance, given me his grace. What more can anybody ask for? Being the Navaratri festival, we're worshiping the Divine Mother. What more, as a best friend and as a Divine Mother, can any of us ask for? So that is Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai to me.
So if Bhagwan is giving you so much of attention, or he helps you to navigate through life with his wisdom and his guidance, how does that happen? What is the operating system for receiving this? Because Swami is not in the form and you don't go into the interview room.
You know, there's a quotation, in the depths of silence you can hear the footsteps of God. Hmm. And I have noticed, me being the chatty New York detective that I am,
eating a lot of pizza.
Eating a lot of pizza.
And donuts.
But even when maintaining that silence, you're able to focus on that voice within. That eternal conscience, you know. That is the guiding light. That is that operating system. I'd like to say that the voice I have as my conscience is none other than my best friend, Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. That's how I'm able to process it, how I'm able to analyze it, how I'm able to utilize that operating system. Because of my ignorance at times, it doesn't always work like that. But when I've least expected it, and when I've planned for it as much as I possibly can, Bhagwan has always shown that he is there, he's guiding, he's looking out for my safety, and always being a part of every aspect of my life, no matter how good or how not so good it can be.
Nicely put, thank you. And I must just draw the attention of our listeners that recently our brother, Detective Sai Krishna Bharadwaj, was all over the media because he was involved. He was the suited detective who was bringing out a person who had broken the law, and there was a lot of media attention on that arrest. So we were all going, yay, we have Sai Krishna's interview on Radio Sai, because if you want to hear his experiences, dear listeners, please Google his name on the Radio Sai. Search it on the Radio Sai website. I think it's under Learning with Love. There's an interview with Detective Sai Krishna Bharadwaj of New York, and it's an interesting one. Well, very nice to speak with you, Sai Krishna. Thank you for being on the show.
I thank you very much for having me, And I hope to see you all again. And happy Navratri to all the listeners all over the world. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So, dear listeners, that was Detective Sai Krishna Bharadwaj of the New York Police Department talking to us about his annual pilgrimage to Prashanthi Nilayam each year from the hustle and bustle of his super exciting and dynamic job as a detective in the New York Police Department. At least that's what we think it is. I wonder, it must be scary and also boring at times. I wonder, waiting for hours to catch bad people. But Sai Krishna is a very regular, and so are about thousands of others who are coming from different parts of the world to celebrate the Navratri festival, because as you may have noticed, in Prashanthi Nilayam, the door and the arms of Bhagwan Baba are open to all seekers of any gender, any race, any religion. There are no taboos and there are no restrictions. This is an all-inclusive place of love. There is no monetary transaction. There is no solicitation of funds. It is only one currency that Bhagwan trades in, and that is pure, unconditional love that he provides to each of those thousands and thousands of seekers who check into this ashram every single day. And to the glory of that Lord, whose life personifies purity and selflessness at its highest peak, we bow with reverence and gratitude because he has included us all in his divine mission. With that, I'm happy to bring you my short and very interesting conversation with the judge from the International Court of Justice. He's our own Sai brother, Brother Dalveer Bhandari ji, and he's a judge at The Hague at ICJ, at the Peace Palace, I believe it is called, in the Netherlands. And following this conversation, I'm going to play for you part two of Triswa Divinity with Sri Suresh Govind of Malaysia. This interview has been hosted by my colleague, Brother Bishop Rushti, and I urge you to stay with me on this entire show. And till we meet next Thursday, have a wonderful day ahead, and Jai Sai Ram. Sai Ram, sir. And welcome to Radio Sai. My first question to you would be, as the keynote speaker at today's conference on human values and the legal world, why do you think this issue is of great relevance to our times?
I don't think for a long time any organization has conducted a seminar, symposium on human values. I personally consider it to be most relevant in the present day world, where value system is dwindling all over. Legal profession, medical professions were considered to be noble professions, but now we get to hear all kind of stories about these professions. So it is absolutely imperative that human values must be inculcated at the school level, college level, so that we can produce citizen with good value system. So I think this kind of conference would at least arise awareness about the human values and importance of human values.
Especially in the legal profession.
Particularly in legal and medical profession. As I mentioned today in my speech, that these are both are service professions. You don't become a lawyer to make money. Don't become a doctor to make money. Money is incidental, but primary job and duty is to serve the society, serve the humanity. But unfortunately, that is not happening. And it is absolutely necessary that we must ensure that good value system is inculcated among new lawyers, new judges, new doctors. I give the illustration of Albert Schweitzer, who got a Nobel Prize later on. Now, he was one of the top physicians of America and had a very large practice. He gave up the practice and went to Africa and set up a hospital in jungle where people had no access to medical aid. And in the gate of the hospital, it was engraved that anyone who comes at any time will find help, kindness, and human sympathy. That's exactly what is required in medical profession and the legal profession. And this kind of conferences will at least bring awareness of the importance of value system in society.
Absolutely. So we saw more than 780 members of the legal fraternity descend upon Prashanthi Nilayam today, including the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of India and about 32 other judges of various high courts, yourself from the International Court of Justice, and many eminent advocates and legal academicians. Now, for all of them to come down to a place like Prashanthi Nilayam, a rather interesting venue, don't you think?
You're absolutely correct. It's amazing that such a large number of judges, academicians, jurists, advocates came from various parts of the country and abroad to attend this seminar. Apart from other things, I think it is predominantly the grace of Swami which has brought all of them together. Even to organize a conference of this magnitude in Delhi would be difficult where all of them are living. And secondly, perhaps this subject attracted many people because for a long time they have not witnessed any seminar, symposium or conference on subject of human values and the world of law.
I guess that works. And sir, for you it's more of a homecoming because you've been coming to Prashanthi Nilayam since 1982. You have known of Baba since 1982.
Actually, Baba visited Delhi in 1982 and he was residing at the residence of then former Chief Justice of India, Justice P.N. Bhagwati, and he was kind enough to invite me, though I was a very young lawyer in the Supreme Court, and I had the privilege of having Baba Darshan way back in 1982. When I became judge in Delhi High Court in 1991, my colleague Justice J.K. Mehra, who is also a devotee of Baba, I came along with him. And thereafter, I have been coming to Puttaparthi frequently. Baba was very gracious, very kind to have granted me interview in almost each of my visits. At times it became difficult because many senior judges from the Supreme Court did not get an interview and a young judge from Delhi High Court invariably got the interviews. But Baba used to say, I know whom I should grant interview and whom I should deny interview. It's entirely the grace of Baba that we have reached at the place. Baba has continuously guided, and in every interview he used to emphasize on the importance of service to humanity and the role of judiciary in service of the humanity.
Did he ever discuss your career with you, considering the trajectory that your career path has taken with your...
Baba used to encourage me a lot.
In what sense?
And he said that you must be on the right path. You will achieve what you want to in life, but never leave the path of honesty and dharma. Baba used to guide us in almost every sphere of life.
Did he ever indicate to you that you would be at the International Court of Justice?
No, he did not mention that, but the way he used to treat us, the way he used to grant us interview, gave the impression that Baba knows about my future, but he did not indicate it to me.
Mm-hmm. And you know, your appointment to the ICJ was such a big celebration in this country. It was almost like we had won a big victory as a nation. Where does Baba figure in your legal practice?
I think Baba has helped in shaping my career, without telling me anything, but by providing guidance from time to time, what should I do, how should I function. When he used to tell me, affluent people can take care of themselves, only the poor and weaker section of people needs the help of the state, and judiciary can play a vital role in that direction, and you must try and wipe out the tears of the poor people through your judgments, orders, directions. So, in a very positive way, Baba used to guide from time to time. And he used to be very happy about some of my orders, judgments, which used to come to his notice. And he used to tell me that you are on the right track. Please keep it up.
Well, that's so nice to hear, because I noticed that many of your judgments really were intended to bring relief to the poorest of the poor, whether it was the increase in the ration for those living below poverty line or night shelters. There were many judgments that you have...
As a matter of fact, most of my judgment in the apex court were trying to help the weaker sections of society. The judgment of food grains, where the conflicting reports were appearing in the press, that on the one hand, there are large number of deaths by starvation, and on the other hand, the food grains were rotting because inadequate facility of warehouses. So, we issued notice to the government and said that if you do not have adequate place where you can store your food grains, and 33% of the food grains were rotting, why not distribute it to the section of society where people are dying of starvation, at least at a BPL price? Our persuasion did not work. Then ultimately we had to pass judicial order, and by that order, 10 million tons of food grains were issued, and that were distributed under the supervision of a former judge of the Supreme Court. And in that year, starvation deaths were negligible.
Must be so gratifying.
It's so gratifying. You are absolutely right. Whenever any order or judgment has the potentiality of helping the large section of poor people is extremely gratifying. Similarly, when I saw the newspaper report and saw the plight of so many people in biting and severe winter of Delhi were sleeping on footpath, then we thought it's a welfare state, and if person can't afford to have a shelter on his head, it is the duty and obligation of the state to ensure that. And we passed the order firstly for Delhi that night shelter be erected for homeless people. Initially there was opposition, but ultimately court directions were complied with. And now recently 100 more night shelters have been set up in Delhi. I myself have visited night shelter and seen the conditions. They are quite satisfactory. They have basic facilities of clean mattresses, beds, drinking water, medical facilities. In some shelters they also give morning tea. Because we are a welfare state, and those who can't afford to have shelter, it is the duty and obligation of the state to provide those shelter. People can't be left to sleep on the street in severe winter. And thereafter, this direction was extended to other states, and almost every state, wherever there was a problem of severe winter, they have erected night shelters. And it is very gratifying that large number of people are using those shelters.
Right. So earlier you mentioned that Baba guided you in every important decision of your life. Now in light of the Mahasamadhi, how do you seek his guidance? How do you find your way?
I was amazed to see the same discipline, same cleanliness, same enthusiasm among people in the main hall where Baba used to give darshan. I never imagined that in Puttaparthi the situation would be exactly the same. In many ways I find improvement in the whole setup. My congratulations to the organizers and all those who are closely associated with Puttaparthi. They are doing remarkable job.
That would be the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust,
yes,
sir.
That's
wonderful.
Entire Satya Sai Seva organization is doing exceedingly good job. I witness the prasadam which was distributed almost in among 7 to 8 thousand people was finished in 10 minutes without any chaos, without any problem, which perhaps would not happen anywhere else. And the symposium which we addressed had a gathering of almost 7-8 thousand people, and there was all so disciplined. There was no murmur, there was no leaving the premises in between. That's very, very gratifying to learn. The Baba's discipline, Baba's insistence on cleanliness is still continuing in the same manner. It's very, very satisfying for a person who has been so close to Baba.
And how do you stay connected with Baba personally after the Mahasamadhi?
I think Baba's grace continues. Though in physical form he is not there, but he is guiding all of us in the correct direction.
And my final question to you, Mr. Bhandari, tonight is, you know, we have a multi-million strong Satya Sai diaspora across the globe, and all of them were keenly watching this conference because we saw, people saw great potential in this emphasis on human values in the legal world. What would be your final message to the devotees of Baba around the world?
As a matter of fact, the crisis of human values is not only contained to India, is a global problem.
Absolutely.
And people want to restore human values. Now, I feel that in the Netherlands where I live, I feel whenever I go to USA or other countries, they have achieved and accomplished material success, but still the inner happiness is not there. They are looking for peace, they are looking for where they can have a good family life, good relationship with their friends, relations. That is missing, and they think that by inculcating the value system, perhaps they may be able to accomplish peace and achieve peace, which is the ultimate goal of each one of us.
Truly. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very nice of you to speak to the listeners of Radio Sai.
Great pleasure talking to you.
Likewise. Sai Ram, sir.
Sai Ram, dear listener, welcome to Tryst with Divinity, a series of conversations with devotees whose lives have been touched by the love of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Today we bring you part 2 of a conversation with Professor Dr. Suresh Govind, a former president of the Satya Sai Seva Organizations, Malaysia. This was recorded in July 2017 in conversation with Dr. Suresh Govind. Is Radio Sai's Bishu Prashti.
So this is okay, it's happening. That means now the more importance is towards discrimination. Mm-hmm. We now need to empower our people. What is it necessary? Is it not necessary? That discrimination chip must go inside.
Yes.
That's why all the devas can be there, but they can only be accessed through Ganapati. So yeah. Ganapati, the Ganapati's discrimination must become very vivid in our system, in our mind. And what does it mean? That means every student now, especially education human value program, this discrimination must be very big. Why? Because today the psychologists are saying it's not just intelligence that's going to make you extraordinary. In this world yes. today, the number one quality that makes you different from ordinary and extraordinary is only one, and that is willpower. The more and more willpower you have, the more and more successful you'll be. Why? Because the world is full of temptations. Huge. The choices are so many.
Yes.
What do I take? What choices? Which path should I take? This is something glaring at me now.
Everyone, especially in the Sai organization today, wherever I went recently, they're asking me this question, how to deal with distractions?
Yeah, exactly. So how, when your distractions are so many, and the fact that they're fighting this distraction, fighting with distraction also depletes your own mental energy. That is why people are getting to become tired. When you actually work with inspiration, you'll never become tired. When you are working in the university or when working any place, when you're forced to look at your handphone, look here, look there, when you're distracted, when you're fighting that distraction is depletion of energy, mental energy. Mm. So people get exhausted and tired. When you work with inspiration, it always energizes you. That's why when somebody went and said, Swami, you know, 6 days for we are working, Sunday is a rest day. Swami said, rest day. Rest day means do different things.
Change of work is
change
rest.
Change of work is rest. So what does it mean? You need to change that piece of work and work with that inspiration. Now, if that inspiration is now poured into your ordinary work, while looking after your child, looking after every day, if we are living our life with an inspired way, your life is a holiday.
Yes.
You don't have to take a break from, I have seen people saying, I want to take a break from my family. Hey, what is your family, your children? That is the place where you're supposed to. I've seen mothers saying that. I've got 2-3 children, but I need a break from them. How can you have a break with people who give you a lot of joy and happiness? So, my point here is that there is something that we are not dealing with in the right way.
Yeah.
So, having joy and happiness is living every day in an inspired manner. But how that inspired manner comes is very simple. The formula is this. Look, this is ritual. Everything that you do in world after 3-4 times when the experience is the same is a ritual.
Yes.
Coming for a bhajan also can be ritual.
Yes.
But when you want to turn it into spiritual, you only add three letters in front of ritual, which is SPI.
Yes.
SPI means Swami's purpose and intention.
Mm-hmm.
When you add Swami's purpose and intention into ritual, it becomes spiritual.
Wow.
So work becomes spiritual, life becomes spiritual, everything becomes spiritual. Because what is Swami? If Swami was here, what will he think? If Swami was here, how? So if I have his purpose, will he like what I'm doing? Mm-hmm. Is this what? So I get to become navigated in the right way. So this is how to live in, and you don't need a break. You always look for something to be excited about, to share your experience and love.
Yes.
Because ananda.
Yes.
Satchit ananda, that's what we are supposed to be.
Yes.
So we started this program because the world is moving towards addiction. 10 years from now, 15 years from now, the number one disease will be depression.
Yeah,
yeah. It's already all there. So
it's
much
already,
now.
Yeah.
Depression. All psychiatric hospitals are becoming more mental.
Yes.
Because the real reason is why this is happening. Esteem is getting low. They can't fight the challenges.
Yes.
They can't battle things.
Can't accept.
Accept. Yeah. So there's a lot of things. That's why Baba's first song was Manas Bajore Guru Charan. He already understood and clearly gave a clear signal. The whole melody of life will be the mind. His mind is going to be the issue. Unless the mind gets to be surrendered at the feet of the teacher, meaning unless the mind can come and marry intelligence, where the feet, where the guru stands is the feet, intelligence. That is when the buddhi shakti will start to come.
Yes.
With the buddhi shakti, slowly, slowly we start to live a atmic life.
Yes.
That realization must come into a youth. So we started this program called Darts. And what happens is that we are going now and we are getting responses so good.
Okay.
We are going to colleges, universities. And this is something that all youth around the world can do. Just knock on the doors of a university vice chancellor and say that we have come here to bring awareness on these issues of drugs. Drugs is that issue. Alcohol, you know. And many people take it just for friends. Sometimes, you know, just for casual, just for a break. People take these things like alcohol. But one thing is to take one drink. Look, alcoholic never wanted to be an alcoholic. You know, it all starts with one drink.
Yes.
And I think people must become very clear. Baba said, if you're my devotee in the 70th birthday, if you're my devotee, give up meat eating, give up drinking, and give up alcohol. He said it very clearly.
Yeah.
Then you want to interpret that message in different ways. Why? We need to give it up. So why is your mind craving for it? Which means to say there is a desire.
Yes.
So how do I overcome that desire? That is what you should be asking.
Yes.
Instead of trying to justify in different ways, if I'm not supposed to do it, then why should I get influenced? Anything that makes you happy, which comes from an external source, cannot be right.
Yes.
Because along the way, you start to get addicted.
Yes.
So A, alcohol. D is drugs. A is alcohol. Then relationship issue. And that's what's happening, boyfriend, girlfriend, and all these teenage pregnancies and all that. So the relationship has to be correct and has to be right and has to be matured. So we always say brahmachari means, you know, you have to marry your own self first.
Yes.
Discover your own potentials. Discover your own self. Then comes a time wastage. And today, and we found some statistics, average youth in ASEAN countries or even Malaysia spends about 7.5 hours on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
Per day?
Yes.
Per day. I think in India, I'm not sure what's the statistic.
Even I read the stats, especially about the developed countries.
Yeah.
In India also, it's rising now with more connectivity. You have more and more people spending a lot more time on social media.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is not unproductive.
Yeah.
Unproductive.
It's an addiction.
Addiction.
So 7.5 hours, you keep on looking. You know what happens? The mind become expand, because you have information. And that addiction goes on. The bigger the mind, you get greater disconnectivity from your Atma.
Mind expand, not the heart.
Heart doesn't
heart
need to expand. So a lot of family people are getting disconnected because these people are getting so caught up in the social media.
Yes,
and a lot of quality of life is lost because your ability to think correctly all gets to be compromised. You must have it. I'm not saying you. When I say something like this, it does not mean I'm engaged. I think you should have it.
Yeah.
But you should know how to manage it.
Yes.
Like you have a car, you need to know. But you should not be possessed by it. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Our boundaries have become very diffused. This is our problem. And finally, smoking. Smoking now, not only cigarette, but they have already started hashish smoking, hash smoking, so many other, vaping. Mm. So there are many habits that are coming now. My simple thinking is very simple. A university or a college or an institution of learning is Saraswati's place. And that place should be well respected. If I respect the place that I'm learning, then chances are that I can absorb many more things. Now, if I find cigarette butts and bottles and all these things lying in institution, it's not looking good. And we need to now start looking at things in that manner. Who else will do it? Nobody else. Everybody will take it up as a trend. It's a very big task. It's a great vision. It's not easy. So we started with our colleges like that. And one of the principals we are now talking to, we are hoping to say that in 6 months, that college can declare that this is a darts-free zone.
Oh, wow.
So the first part of this program is called S is sensitization. We go to different colleges and using public...
How many colleges have you touched upon now?
Okay. So far now we have launched it. 20 college and universities have come forward to participate in this program.
This is in one part of Malaysia?
We have done it in Kuala Lumpur and so on. That's in our city region.
Okay.
It's about 20 colleges we have not touched. And what has happened is we are now conducting public speaking sessions in those colleges.
Okay.
So it's very simple. 3 minutes public speaking. Touch a youth, create a competition, get them to speak about drugs or alcohol, what the ill effects are, and let the university students listen to these effects, and then give them prizes. So we are now having a inter-college university competition going on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we are trying to get a prize for these students. This is the first part of the program, which is called sensitization. The second part is A. A is anchoring. Anchoring means a university will invite us, then we go inside and we do train the trainer session.
Okay.
The trainer session is about getting the community leaders in the universities to be empowered with the ability to make sure that this program gets sustained. Then comes I, which is the integration part. This is SAI, it's a sensitization, anchoring and integration. So the integration part is where we make sure that the youth in the universities try and become auditors and ambassadors. How they become is that they themselves they want the environment to be healthy. So if someone is doing this, then they encourage them not to
make
do it.
Them change agents.
Make them change, yeah. So the change agent is not no more the professors and university. The students themselves want to be healthy.
Yes.
So what our stand is, we don't want to stand on a moral stand. To say what is right and what is wrong. We don't want to stand there. But our stand is that by doing in these activities, your health will be compromised.
Yes.
Every one of the five, health is compromised.
Yes.
And health is what God gave us.
Yes.
So because we love humanity so much, we want humanity and people to live happily for a long period of time.
Suppose one youth says that, okay, my health is compromised, I would have lived for 60 years and I would have led a boring life, but I'm having an exciting life, it doesn't matter if I die at 40. What
fine.
Do you say?
Then I would say that if that is the case, let me ask you a question. If for our sake, just because you need to be scientific and excellent, why not you give up all what you're doing now and live a life without any of these things for at least a period? And then you compare the quality of life that you're having now and the quality of life that you're having before. And if you think that life before was much more better than what you're having now, go back to it. At least you give yourself that chance.
Okay.
So why don't you give yourself that experience? That without these things, can you live? I have heard people, and this is real true stories, when people who are smoking marijuana came and said that, and after going through the rehabilitation and all that, person have said that, I sleep so well, I eat so well, what a life I've missed all this while. So, and now they will never go back to that because they can experience the goodness of their life.
But has it happened that, you know, you through the program you were able to get someone out of the addiction, but you know, he's okay, he's sane for some time, but someone, he goes back again?
Okay, so this, the principal of the college said, because of our involvement, they have actually stopped smoking and they have stopped drinking. The principal came in front and admitted that this is happening. But what we know is that is why our boys have to continuously go into the university and act as facilitator and mentor. The support system must be strong, okay?
Mm.
But for alcohol also, even for youth, sometimes they just take it initially. So it's okay. A real alcoholic, I think it's going to be difficult. That is why our exercises are more for prevention.
Prevention. Yes.
So not getting people to cross the line.
Yes.
People who have already been addicted to drugs is another totally different story. And we don't have the competency.
You're trying to ensure that the generation that is coming up has good discrimination. And they don't get into all these wrong ways in the early years.
My thinking is Swami's education is that we should empower people to tell them what is the ill effects.
Yes.
After that, if they make a choice of their own, at least they will not say, I didn't know.
Yeah,
I went with my friends. Mm. I never knew this was my problem. I just went. I don't want people to say that.
Yes.
We want our Sai youth to go there, talk to them, and empower them with that knowledge.
Yeah.
Later, if they decide to choose that life in which one will they live, it is not up to us.
Yeah. But tell them, you choose this, what will happen.
Our Shriya and Priya must be very clear. Yes. That is what Swami told us. Yes. And that knowledge must be empowered to them. Yes. And then let them make the choice. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
But the fact that when people do it in ignorance,
yes,
and later repent because nobody told me, I think it's very, yes, painful.
That is where we as a member of the society have failed.
Failed. That's it. Good people are so selfishly in their own life. They, my family is good. My house
my
is
children
good.
Are my good. Yeah.
So you continue to live in this way. And then what is selfless? And just by going occasionally to do some service work and to brand that as selfless is not.
And then if something wrong happens in my community today, I say, why did it happen to me?
Why this happened to me? Why me?
And why did it happen? And you get very scared.
Yeah.
But you don't think it is just like that. You know, there is some dirt outside your house, and you are very diligently removing all the dirt and putting it outside your house.
Yeah.
But tomorrow there is a disease because of that, and you are affected. But so how did it happen to me?
That's it. So I think this is what Swami's basic teaching is, and I think we have to be very clear on our roles and what we are planning to do and what we are hoping to do. And I think by doing things like this, we are helping society, because anyone who is indulged in any one of these activities, the national productivity laws.
Yes.
There's a lot of income.
Has the government sort of appreciated or at least acknowledged the work of the Satsaya organization?
To such a large extent, even the launching of that DARTS program was done at them by the Minister for Health.
Oh, wow.
Launched at the ministry place. And the 20 colleges and universities came there, and the Minister of Health himself launched it. And now, because of the work and the proposals that we have sent, we are going to get a grant also to do this work.
Amazing.
Yeah. Wow. It is coming at a time when there's a lot of stringent cuts, and yet they have seen the noble work that the Satisaya International Organization is doing. And as a result, we are getting that thing. So I always believe, or we always are told to believe, that even Brother Jagger always used to tell us, when the objective is noble, motive is pure, the Om principle. Objective noble, motive is pure, things will happen to us.
Things will happen,
So, you see, you can do service, but I think the greatest problem today lies in the human consciousness.
Yes.
When human consciousness have slipped and they are gone to such low levels, that is a seva. So our greatest seva contribution, the strategic leveraging point, is transformation of human consciousness. That is what we have come here for.
Yes.
So we ourselves should experience peace and bliss and outpour to the world outside.
Yeah. That is what is prashanti.
Prashanti.
You should be able to spread that shanti.
So if you are not spreading, it's only remaining a shanti.
Yeah.
Or a shanti, as you said, is the when you should overspill and get into the community and society and bring that whole thing.
Yes.
So I think this is how we should be moving in force, in unison. Mm. And I think everyone singing the same song, I think, will create an incredible orchestra.
I have one question here about the way the program is structured, this DARTS program or the other program, because you're going to all these areas where they are not into religion, not into spirituality, not into Swami, and you're not bringing in Swami, you're just only talking about values. But is there a spiritual basis for the program?
Yeah. We always say, when we go and do these programs, if it is a predominantly Indian community base, let's say, and they predominantly Hindu base, then we find that it is easier for us to strike a chord when we speak that language with them.
Yes.
Yeah. So we find we don't talk about Swami or anything, but whatever faith that we are encouraging them to focus on that value of
believe in something that they believe in.
Yeah, that's it.
So be more strong in
that's
that.
That's it. So, like for example, when we meet with the Muslims and everything, they believe in different in the ideology. Yeah. So we have told them to focus on that ideology and have greater faith in them, because that is what Baba has also said.
Yes.
Because deepen the faith, and by deepening the faith, a lot of recovery can take place.
Yes. And the reason I ask this is because I know of so many organizations, you know, the self development organizations, who charge people a lot of money and that want to reform people, but you know they shun from talking about God, about religion, about the so-called secular sort of organizations.
Yeah.
I personally believe that you need this basis.
Yeah, see, there are two. The way I've seen when we talk to people who actually transform, and we talk to them, why did you change? Finally, when we ask them, why did you change? You know what the real reply they give us? See. Parents have told us, teachers have told us, headmaster have told us, everybody have told us. But when you guys are coming, we cannot find a reason why you are coming and telling us.
Yes.
Because you are not taking money. You don't want the name. You don't want the glory. You don't want recognition. You don't want anything. You are just coming to... Suddenly we find, if you are so concerned about us and you are taking so much, suddenly I am beginning to think, why I cannot be concerned about myself? The power of selflessness
yes.
has the power to transform.
Wow.
Even our youth, even the grand comes, I'm clearly saying, even all our youth, we never pay money or we don't go for that. In fact, the money is used for what purposes? When we organize a camp, for example, then for to transport that those students yes. there or to buy for them something. It's always back to the students whom we are serving, but never to the facilitators and all that, because we want them to, they themselves must feel it, then there will be an atmic connection, and then atmic connection creates a border, a band of selflessness. We find in that selflessness becomes a Wi-Fi where I can connect to you internally.
Yeah.
And I cannot find a reason why you spend that day when the boys went there, they slept in the same floor as the boys itself.
Wow.
So when you're doing that, you are engineers and lawyers and doctors, why you are sleeping on the same? So that kind of feeling comes and gives them a lot of confidence.
I think nobody can be untouched with selfless love.
Yeah.
I think selfless love is the most powerful tool that we all have, and that we have seen Swami also use it to the hilt all the time.
You see, the whole thing is when you're having that selfless love and you're doing it, you become the weapon. Many people are focusing on techniques. Actually, yes that's all good. Yeah. But if you have that concern and the care that you give, people just melt. They change. And they say, hey, for your sake, I want to transform it. For your sake, I will change.
Yes.
This is what people do.
Yes.
So it's a very satisfying and very gratifying. It's a beautiful feeling. Right? And this is, I think we ourselves...
if you have to think, if today is the last day of my life, let my life be like this.
At least you've done something.
Something useful.
I think the world, my strong feeling is the world can be saved.
Yeah.
But good people must come down. And I think the number of volunteers must increase.
Yes.
And doesn't really matter whether you're a side devotee or not side devotee. I mean, the thing is, volunteers must. Even our people, some of them who have gone into the, have taken members who are not at all Sai members also. They also have joined in because they like the good work you're doing.
Work, yes.
Yeah. And I remember when Brother Jagga and I was in Coimbatore, both one time there was one elderly man.
Mm-hmm.
I still cannot forget that story. He is not a Baba devotee, but he does a lot of seva and all that. So one day they told him, Swami has come to Kodaikanal, why don't you go and see?
Mm-hmm.
So he said, I'm not a devotee and Swami will not look. But because of the pressure, he went and sat at the back.
Mm-hmm.
There was a long queue and he sat at the back. Swami went and called him. Swami went and asked him to come inside the interview room. After the interview, had lunch with him. After lunch, Swami asked the student to take a photograph. Swami put his hands on this elderly man and he said, you know, I am also like you. I also do a lot of seva. So it came to show that the recognition is not because you have a Sai label. Anybody doing good work is God's work. They do good work, it reaches God.
Yes.
So there are a lot of very like-minded people out there in society who will want to do work.
And that is a huge number, I would
say. Huge! Number of people wanting to volunteer is
huge.
Sai members around the world and everyone who's listening to this, and you don't have to say Sai Ram. There are a lot of people, as long as you are going and doing it, there will be people who come to you.
Yes.
This is the motivation. You don't have, from the first program we started in 1999. We didn't have the modules, we didn't have the training, we didn't have the teaching. We just had the conviction, Baba is in our heart. We had that conviction and we went and we did it. So the point is, I think this is what is called faith.
Absolutely.
And you must have faith that God is with you.
Yes.
And just as I speak here, I think God is telling us everywhere there is huge big amounts of problems.
Yes.
Because we ourselves are not convinced that we have God with us.
Yes.
I think this is our problem. You see, God is not...
And the self-confidence that we say, we should have that... Self-confidence is capital S.
Yes.
You should know that is that Sai confidence. Confidence that Sai is with me.
Yeah.
I think that is...
Yeah.
If we have that, I mean, if you are going anywhere and if we really feel that Swami is there holding my hand, what confidence we would have.
Yeah. Swami made the difference very clear. He said, the difference between Medha Shakti and Buddhi. Many of them have Medha Shakti.
Medha
Shakti means stage. On the stage, you can do, you can be a good physicist, you can be a good scientist. This is at a certain platform. And that is the small S, self-confidence.
Yes.
Good public speaker. And good.
Yes.
But when a disappointment comes, you're not able to bear. You're not able to bounce.
Yeah.
You go into sincere depression because the confidence is not on the higher self.
Yes.
So Baba said, self self-confidence means this confidence on this buddhi.
Yes.
That this buddhi is connected, this is the closest to the atma. So when we have that, this whole world is nothing but a reflection of my own mind. Why should I start to get despondent? So I must now rise up. So I am here for a purpose. You see, if you have this mantra, I am here for a purpose. I am being placed here that I am here that I can become an answer. I refuse to be unhappy.
Yes.
I refuse to be disappointed.
Yes.
I am here that I am the blessed chosen one.
Yes.
This is the mantra that if you
yes.
empower yourself,
yes.
this is the highest way. If you can do this every day and get up in the morning and burst out, you are an inspiration. We must be inspiration to our own selves, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. I mean, the purpose of life is to lead life of purpose.
That's
I
it.
Think
that's it. That's it.
That
and something that you came to Malaysia and you said, which I mean, when I was doing the compare, I said to you, if you give everything to Swami's hands, and then you can see Swami's hands in everything, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's
it. Okay. When we started the conversation, you started talking about your journey to Swami,
yeah.
and you said after 12 years you got your first interview. So let's come back to your those inner moments, that moments with Swami, because I think initially you came, you got a shock from Swami.
Real shock.
That shock. And that, I think, changed you physically, mentally, spiritually.
Yeah.
It changed everything.
Because after that embarrassment, nothing will be embarrassing. He has put me to the ultimate embarrassment. You know, after that day when Swami did that to me,
yeah.
and then I went to the canteen, the Indian canteen. That time they didn't have Western canteen. Indian canteen, you're learning. Everybody's eyes on me. So immediately I just packed up. I didn't eat anything. Went home. Went back. It was Shivaratri and Ekadashi together. It was such a painful experience. But that pain was necessary.
Yes.
He did it to me and slapped me out of shape, because I think I needed that very badly for me to come down.
What did you take out of that experience?
You see, from there, that was... In fact, it took me some time to even to explain to people that experience that I had. But, you see, that I suppose Swami was taking... I used to be a very shy person. And now if I tell that, people won't believe. But I never used to come to the front. I used to sit at the back. I was very shy. I was very conscious. I didn't want to make a fool of myself, you know, that kind of thing. Now, I couldn't even be bothered if everybody considers me as a fool. Simply because that love, that whole thing is that the point is, we are only living for a short time.
Yes.
You're only living for a short time. This is a small speck of a thing.
Yes.
And compared to the billions of people, what are you? A small
yes.
speck.
Yeah.
Position doesn't matter.
Yeah.
This nothing matters. Now it's just that this whole mission is now burning. So every time, even in my house, in my wife, night, sometimes 2 a.m. I'll get up. You know, I'm thinking, supposing the EHV church, she said, can this not wait till tomorrow morning? So it's exciting. It's very exciting to think.
I know.
In fact, these problems in society is a reflection that there is something that we must do. And it gives you a quest to see, what is it that I can do? So your brain starts to think. It's very fascinating how I can do, and when you let go, when you open up like this, endless opportunity comes inside.
Absolutely. But it's very interesting, your journey. You know, a lot of people, their journey towards Swami is, you know, they come here and Swami gives them an interview, or Swami gives them padamaskaram, or they had Swami cures a problem, or, you know, Swami suddenly gives them vibhuti, and, you know, their faith happens, their transformation happens. For you, it is completely different. He actually slaps you, you know, he humiliates you.
Yeah.
But you fall in love with him more.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think, you know, the way you have asked me this question is very, very unique, because that is very true. Everyone who comes here goes back with a pleasant one. Huh?
Yeah.
And here, in this case, it was a bitter thing.
Yeah.
But I suppose he had to take out the orange skin to for me to experience the bliss.
Yeah. Bitter first, nectar later.
Bitter nectar. But that happened. So that was what... But subsequently after that, I had a lot of... Because we are staging 12 dramas here, 12 presentations.
But tell me, like, when did that... at some point in time... After that, you know, there was perhaps a shift in your mind, like you accepted what has happened,
yeah.
and then you started to take what Swami is communicating to you from that experience. You had that wisdom, thanks to Swami. You had that intuition to see how to take it positively,
yes.
to convert that adversity, so-called adversity.
But when I went back to the Sai Center, see, the center was a dynamic place. So I liked that dynamism in our center, and they did a lot of work, activities. So you were just plunged into it. We went and did so much of it.
So this did not depress you?
Yeah, it did not depress me, but it was at the back of the mind.
Yeah.
And it... when I was getting involved, I saw myself getting more and more involved. I saw my talents coming out. I suddenly started writing plays. I started staging plays. I didn't have that talent. Frankly, I never even knew that I had. So suddenly that inspiration came. I wrote 1, 2, 3, 4, now about 70, 80 plays I've written. And one of a few of them have been staged in front of the government and all that. So it all came. And something happened in my system. I do not, I'm not sure what.
So it was just that there was this thing was there.
Yeah.
And you were still trying to understand it, but you were just going with the flow of the organization.
Activity, organization. So I became organization. In fact, in Malaysia, we were one of the earliest groups to actually have a youth movement. Another mentor of mine is Brother Billy Fong. He was he was our national, you know Billy Fong, you met him. Such a nice, humble, simple
fantastic person.
He's like a kung fu master.
Very unassuming person.
He's like a kung fu master. So he was the first national youth coordinator, Brother Jaga appointed him as the first national youth coordinator. I was his deputy national. So for 10 years, he was like Batman Robin, you know. So we were both of us like that. For 10 years, we did this work together and we were very... I don't think Sai movement... I feel that is our family.
Yes.
That the relationship that we had with the members of the Sai fraternity is like family. We celebrated birthdays. We had... We were like... All of us were together.
Yes.
In fact, the reason why we have service activity is to be together.
I know that you always feel more close with the Sai family than perhaps your own blood relatives.
Exactly. You must have experienced that hospitality when you came to Malaysia. You know, Mahendran is a great example.
Yeah.
He must have looked after you so well. He's so good in extending that hospitality, looking after people.
You always feel at home.
Yeah.
The moment you tell Sairam, you feel at home.
At home, yeah. So that feeling was like that. So people grew up like that and we naturally went like that. But after that interview, when we staged the first drama here, the Chinese New Year drama, we staged that.
When was that?
That was in 1990. The first drama was in 1996.
Okay.
Then we had another drama we staged in 1997.
Okay.
In 1997.
So after that humiliation,
12 years later.
12 years later. You didn't come to
Puerto Rico? We came every time we come.
You came every year?
Almost every year because we used to stay. But but it was only after that Swami came in the interview and all that. The first interview was given.
Okay. Before we move on, I just want to ask you this. You know, that thing was there at the back of your mind, but you're still continuing to do Swami's activities. Did any point in time did it occur to you that, you know, I'm doing all these activities for him?
Yeah.
You know, I'm a Sai devotee. I'm doing all these activities for the Sai organization. But when I went to Parthi, he did this to me.
No, it didn't occur to me. You know why?
Wow.
Because I was having joy. I was having happiness. It was an addiction. I'm telling you, my father was getting very worried. He said, what is this now? You're going every day.
The organization and the activities are giving you so much joy.
Joy. We organized the Asian Festival of Drama on Human Values. This drama. Oh, it was euphoric. in that euphoria, why should you think of anything else, you know, it was so euphoric. We were, in fact, my father was getting worried because he said, "Why are you spending all your time here? And then what's going to happen?" And like that, there was a usual parental thing was there.
Yeah.
So I was like that. I was totally involved and totally immersed and completely immersed, and still am. And
so when was the moment when you felt welcomed physically by Swami?
When physically in that particular place, when I came in the first interview, when Swami called me, at that time I was already married. The first time I just met, just 2-3 years later, he called both of us into the interview room. Then when I saw him after that, when I just entered, he took us into the inner room. He closed the thing. He closed the door. And then he sat down. When he sat down, I went and started crying and weeping, and I couldn't stop. And my head was on his legs, and I was weeping with it. Then he looked at my wife and he looked at me. Hey, my gown is getting wet. Swami said, "My gown is getting wet." He said. So then my wife said, "Swami, he loves you a lot." Then Swami said, "You see, emotion is one thing, devotion is quite another."
Wow.
Very powerful. Huh? I still remember those words. Emotion is one thing, devotion is quite another. I was powerful, very powerful, that experience. So I cried because it was 12 years and while I was doing all this seva, personally I also was going through a lot.
Yes.
Because financially I was not well off.
Okay.
Yeah, I was not, because a lot of this money, seva, we used to go, I must share with you this, I think this is something that is good. So people saw me in the university those days, they paid very low. It was very low pay. I was hardly anything. In fact, it is actually about 10% of what I used to get, the lecturers at that, today gets, I used to get 10%.
Oh.
About, it was about 1,000, about maybe 300 or 400 US. Yeah.
Okay.
That was a low pay, you know. And I was struggling. Financially, I was struggling. But every time I was seva, I used to spend them, go for petrol, you know, like that. And I used to give my money for the family and all that. So, people, when I used to speak, there were people who used to listen, and there was one motivator, person who has a motivation company, he heard me speaking. He said, "Brother, can I tell you, why don't you, weekend you come to my place, you do the motivation, I will teach you everything, you will be able to get 1,500, that is quite a bit, for 2 days, month I'm getting that much, I'm getting it 2 days later." So I was very excited. He said, "This is fantastic, this is amazing." So I commit myself, that this weekend I'm coming to do this, so I was getting excited. Now that weekend is coming close, by Monday or Tuesday, somebody from, because I was one of the national youth leaders, one group of people from northern side or south, "Brother Sairam, you know, we're having this youth camp this week. Can you please come on this?"
Oh my God.
This is now these two things staring at. This is weekend when now this is but now here is the time where this two
books. And you need the money.
I need the money. So now I'm now staring. Okay, should I go for this? This is the most tempting thing. Yeah. You won't believe her. I'll phone him and say, "I can't come for this weekend, but I like to come for the next one." You know,
to whom?
To that person who's offering me the weekend.
Oh.
And then I'll pay money to pour petrol and whatever it is.
You went to the Sai function.
For the function, yeah.
Oh my God.
So in all my trips, I never abdicated that role. It was very painful, but I didn't, financially I was not well off, but I used to go for like
that. It's fantastic also that your wife supported you.
Yeah. She was very supportive. I mean, she, for me, is my wife is a real blessing, really. She supported me during this ordeal. So when I was going through, I noticed every time I say, "Yes, I'll come for the weekend," something comes up here. I couldn't believe this, you know. It is such a drama. Every time I say yes, this temptation will come in front of me, and just 2 days, I will get that money for 1 month, and I cannot use because I have to go. I commit to a Sai function here.
Wow.
So I used to give up like that. When I went inside Swami's room for the first time and I started crying, then I said, and I was really financially not, so I told Swami, financially I'm not well. Financially I'm not asking to be a millionaire, Swami. You know, I said like, "Yeah, I know. You served me well." Swami said, "You served me well." Then Swami, "No, I will give you. Don't worry. You look out. Do my work. I will give." Swami said that to me, you know. So that was a strong assurance. So when I returned back, that's when I got the National Young Scientist Award, and they gave me a prize money for that. And so a lot of things came. But why I cried was to explain is that during these 12 years, it was not honky-dory.
There's
a lot of sacrifices that personally I had to do. And it was painful. But I wanted to do Swami's work. A lot of people now settle this. I find the way people live today is they want to finish this business. They want to finish that work. They want to finish that. Then only come here. I didn't do that. I gave many things up to want to be here. That's the difference. So I feel that The thrill was that. At one point, then later on, Swami, I recall that story where that, you know, that Dobi and that the store, and the Swami, that boy saved the money to buy to buy a brick for the super specialist hospital. And Swami said, "This is not little money, this is a crores and crores." So the whole idea is, when you cannot give and yet you give, it is multiplying. So a lot of this the youth must understand. You give time, you give your energy, give your effort. This is a very powerful storehouse. Sacrifice, give, and you'll find that it'll all grow other side. This is not an extracurricular activity that you're doing. Sati Sai Baba activity is not an extracurricular activity where I finish everything and then when I have time. Some people, "Hey, how come you have not been coming to the Sai Center?" Then they said, "Tell me, you know, Brother Sairam, you know, I just got married." So I always tell them, marriage is not cancer, man. It's not a disease. You're not dying of it. You just got married. It's a stage of life. That does not mean you abdicate everything and go. You got your promotion. How did you get your promotion? Swami gave you that. Swami gave us everything. But we got trapped in those illusions that the God gave and forgot the reality. So to keep focus on the reality, despite of whatever that comes to you, promotion, headship, whatever that comes to you, to keep it focused is tapas. Is the tapas that you must have.
If our focus is on Swami, cancer will not come to us. Because we lose the focus, cancer comes to remind us of Swami.
So many disappointments come. And I'm not saying also that those who are coming like this, you won't get disappointment. Those who are sometimes coming to Sai movement also, there will be a lot of disappointments. But the ability to bear. Swami said endure. So the whole point just bear all and do nothing. You know?
Yes.
So the whole idea is endure.
Yeah.
The endurance comes because that is the this whole concept is
yes.
head in the forest,
yes.
Hand in society.
Yes.
So head is always swami there. So you have just put your systems
yes.
there.
Yes.
And hand is working like that. So
yes.
I think this is a very powerful way of living. You
yes.
find you enjoy life to the fullest and you get the best. The best of best.
Yes, life becomes a celebration.
Every moment.
Yes.
And even your office, you know, a lot of people don't know. They come to the Sai moment, they will try and motivate. But in your own office, you won't do anything. in my own office as a head in my department, I got the whole department involved in dengue community work and brought the whole community there and got our professors and all to sit together. I said, enough of writing of papers and all that. You now find out from the community what are the issues, and we brought out some resolutions and all that. So Satisai work is not just worked in the Sai organization. You should take the spirit of that
into
your workplace and move people, get them evolved, get them to look at different perspectives.
Yes.
That is, Satya Sai life is a lifestyle.
Yes.
A lifestyle where I don't need to be happy with alcohol, discern, and all these things which common men need. Okay, ordinary people need. Why should extraordinary people need to be happy?
Yes.
You should be living with that ideal, that grand ideal. Yes. And every day inspire. And be like the cow.
Yes.
Eat the grass and give the milk.
Yes.
Live on the minimum. Give out the maximum. Can you?
Yes.
And that is why Matu Pongal, we celebrate Matu Pongal and worship cow in India, is because cows eat grass which is not needed and give milk which is wanted. Why is that human beings cannot be?
Yes.
Live on the minimum, give the maximum. This is the Sai lifestyle.
Mm.
Simple living, high thinking. Baba said that.
Yes.
So in the same way, if we can live like this, we got a lifestyle.
Mm.
And this is the lifestyle. It has to be an infectious lifestyle where others must see and they must get inspired.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then you have plenty. You'll have lots.
Yes.
Millionaires are very poor people, you know, because they've got equally they have got million other desires. There are people who don't have that much, but they are very rich because they don't have. They don't need to.
Yes.
I think we should aspire to have high visions that if you have money, property or things, try and see how you can share it with society and community and live, start to live for people's happiness.
Yes.
Make other people happy. Be born for others.
Yes.
You'll find you'll always be happy.
In fact, I many times feel that it is not fantastic or remarkable to have a vision of God.
Yeah.
You know, you might do your tapas and, you know, for 10 years maybe, and, you know, I want to see a vision of Saraswati, vision of Ganesha.
Yeah.
You know, I feel it is not remarkable to have a vision of God.
Yeah.
What is truly remarkable is when people can envision God through you.
That's it. Oh, powerful. You have said it. That's it.
I feel that is not Swami wants.
Yeah, yeah,
Swami doesn't want, you know, you sit and you meditate and have a vision.
Yeah.
You know, he will be more happy if every moment people, when they see you, they envision him.
Yeah.
They envision their Krishna in you. They envision their Ganesha in you.
Yeah.
My God, this person, the way he speaks,
yeah.
the way he does things.
You see, this whole thing is when somebody sits in front of you and he's agitated. He's got a lot of action, a lot of desires, he can't concentrate. He's got a lot of problems. Okay. So when you sit in front of him, there are three persons there. The body that contains the mind. The mind is highly restless. And behind that mind is that silent sitting Atma, jailed. What's my job? My job is I have to awaken your Atma. Because if I awaken that Atma, the Atma can quieten down the mind.
Yes.
So, if I am pure, if I am sincere, and this is the technology, if I am pure and sincere and I am really made, I must now connect to your Atma and awaken that Atma so that Atma quietens the mind. And then after the whole session is over, all the discussion, my God, I feel so happy, you know, I feel so good. Why are you so good? Because we managed to quieten the mind.
Right.
When the mind is quietened, you yourself will start to realize many things. So if you realize many things, I am seeing divinity in you.
Yes.
And I'm making you big. That's what Baba did to us. I'm God, you're God. I know I'm God. And my job is to make you. So the same thing is with everyone else. I'm God. I'm divine. I'm happy. I want to make you happy as just as how happy I am. If we have that approach, you find everything can be easily sorted out.
Yes.
A lot of things are not complicated.
Absolutely.
It's just that our mind is so warped up and so therefore everything we touch becomes complicated.
Yeah.
And we become very bureaucracy, very bureaucratical, hierarchical. Oh, I am this, I am the, I tell you, the complications that we create is because it's all in the mind. But if we just live simply, it's okay.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. It's okay. I think things will happen.
The spider creates a little web and happily rests on it. We create a worldwide web and we get caught in it.
This is maybe Swami saying internet. This is the inner. We get caught in this net, you know, and we get lost in that particular net. And a lot of time is spent trying to come out of the net. And today, depression, mental illnesses is all because of this.
Yeah.
They do not know how to relate to things.
Mm-hmm.
And the generation that is coming out now are thinking only in saccato. That means they can't expand. you cannot find them thinking beyond.
Yes.
So I think this is what we have come to teach and we have come to inspire the world.
Yes.
Satisai life is an inspirational life. Swami is so inspirational. And he has left behind a legacy. I think his greatest legacy, of course, hospital and everything else, what people have spoke, his legacy is that inspiration.
Yes.
And if we can tap onto that inspiration, we will become a legacy to inspire other people.
Yes.
Inspiration is a great legacy. And we got something to live for. Be happy.
Absolutely.
You know, there are people, like I've seen, they keep on saying, yeah, like, with very sorrowful face, yes, cannot be happy, not contented. See, what's wrong with you? Why are you so unhappy? No, I don't know. I mean, you know, I really... See, it is, you have no, you don't even know why you are sad.
Yeah.
You are programmed to feel sad, and when you feel happy a little bit, you feel strange. You know,
you feel strange. Yeah? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, if there is no sorrow, then suddenly you will think, you know, 5 years ago when my daughter wrote the exam, why did she get B? Suddenly that becomes an issue, which was not an issue for many years.
And now today she is not here. She is already gone with the husband. I am alone. So when you had her, what did you do? See, the whole thing is you have to learn how to be in the present, because only in the present can you connect to omnipresent.
Yes.
So the whole point is that in the present joy, present moment, be thrilled. The whole thousands of molecules must be infused to feel oneness with God. That oneness we have to experience.
Then you tap the, I mean, once you feel that oneness, you tap the infinite reservoir of energy and inspiration.
That's it. Because we are on a journey, you know, we have to reach, our goal is, why should you come back again? You see, that's the point.
Yeah.
There's no need. We just finish everything that we have to finish. Less luggage, easy travel. So the whole idea is not to cultivate desires, love everybody, don't have anything in the heart, care for everyone, and just quietly go.
నేను ఎప్పుడు మీ వెంటనే జంటనే ఇంటనే ఉంటుంటాను.
భగవాన్ ఇస్ ఆల్వేస్ విత్ యూ ఇన్ యూ అరౌండ్ యూ అబౌట్ యూ.
కనుక మీరందరూ కూడా ఐకమత్యంతో పనిచేయండి.
వర్క్ విత్ ది ఫీలింగ్ ఆఫ్ యూనిటీ.
నా సీట్ ఇక్కడ కాదు.
భగవాన్ సీట్ ఇస్ నాట్ హియర్.
నా సీట్ మీ యొక్క హృదయమే.
భగవాన్ చైర్ ఇస్ యువర్ హార్ట్.
కనుకనే మీరు ఎక్కడ ఉంటే అక్కడ కూడా స్వామి ఉంటున్నాడు.
స్వామి ఇస్ దేర్ వెరెవర్ యు ఆర్.
ఏ కొరతను మీకు జరగవు.
నథింగ్ విల్ హ్యాపెన్ టు యు.
ఏ విధమైనటువంటి అపజయాలు మీకు జరగవు.
యు విల్ నెవర్ హావ్ ఫెయిల్యూర్.
కానీ పరిపూర్ణమైన విశ్వాసంతో మీరు పనులు ప్రారంభించండి.
వర్క్ విత్ టోటల్ ఫెయిత్.
ఏ పని చేసినా కూడా ఇది భగవత్ కార్యంగా భావించండి.
వాట్ ఎవర్ యు మే డూ గుడ్ వర్క్ టేక్ ఇట్ యాస్ గాడ్స్ వర్క్.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai.